This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam. Ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Awalam yaral ladhina kafaru. Anna samawati wal arda. Kanat ratkan fafataknahuma. Wajalna minal ma'i kulla shay'in hay. Afala yu'minun. Rabbi shali sadri. Wayassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. My respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I request as audio technician, if you can, excuse me, can you increase the volume of the monitor speaker, please? Brother, audio technician, can you increase the volume of the monitor speaker, please? And even the If you can. Hello? There is a hollow sound coming. If you reduce the hollow sound, please. There's a hollow sound coming. Can you reduce the hollow sound? It is a great pleasure and honor for me to be back here in the University of Malaysia, Perlis. And this is my second visit to this wonderful university. I was here last year in March 2017. I'm back here after 1 year, 7 months. The topic of this evening's talk is Quran and modern science. The topic of this evening's talk is Quran and modern science. I think the sound is not very clear. The only thing normally I request is for a good sound system. You're telling a warrior to go to the battlefield and taking away his arms. The sound system is a must. The topic of this evening's talk is Quran and modern science. The glorious Quran is the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God, which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. For any book to claim that it is a word of God, for any book to claim that it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should stand the test of time. Previously, in the olden days, it was the age of miracles. And the glorious Quran is a miracle of miracles. Then came the age of literature and poetry. Muslim and non-Muslim scholars alike, in the language of Arabic, they claim that the glorious Quran is the best Arabic book written on the face of the earth. But today is not the age of literature and poetry. If suppose a religious book says in a very poetic fashion that the world is flat, will a modern man believe in it? And the answer is no. Because today is not the age of literature and poetry. Today is the age of science and technology. So let us analyze today whether the glorious Quran is compatible or incompatible with modern science. According to Albert Einstein, the famous physicist and the Nobel Prize winner, he said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." I would like to repeat that Albert Einstein, the famous physicist and the Nobel Prize winner, said that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Let me remind you that the glorious Quran, is not a book of science, S-C-I-E-N-C-E, but it is a book of signs, S-I-G-N-S. And there are more than 6,000 signs, more than 6,000 ayats in the glorious Quran, out of which more than 1,000 speak about science. As far as my talk today will be concerned, I will only be speaking about scientific facts, and I will not be speaking about hypotheses and theories, because most of us know that many a times the scientific hypotheses and theories, they take U-turns. In the field of astronomy, there were a couple of scientists in 1973 who got the Nobel Prize, for describing how did our universe come into existence. And they called it the Big Bang. And they said that initially there was one primary nebula. Our whole universe was one primary nebula. Then there was a secondary separation, a Big Bang, which gave rise to galaxies, the stars, the planets, and the earth on which we live. This thing which was described about 45 to 50 years back is already mentioned in the Quran 1400 years ago. And I started my talk by quoting a verse from the glorious Quran, from Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, which says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Do not the unbelievers see أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَ رَتْكًا فَفَتَقْنَهُمَا That the heaven and the earth were joined together and we clove them asunder. What the scientists discovered about 45 to 50 years back, the glorious Quran mentioned 1400 years ago, which today the scientists call as the Big Bang. Quran says in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verse number 11, that moreover in his design, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, he comprehended and said to the sky, when it was smoke, and said to the earth, come eat together willingly or unwillingly, and they said, we come together in willing obedience. Today the scientists, they tell us that the celestial matter initially, it was in the state of smoke, which we discovered recently. Quran mentioned 14 years ago that the initial celestial matter was smoke. So Francis Drake was the first person who proved that the earth was spherical by sailing around it in the year 1579. Previously, we thought that the world was flat and we were afraid to venture too far lest we would fall over. It was in 1579 that Sir Francis Drake proved that the earth was spherical by sailing around it. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 29, أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُلِيجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُلُّ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ It is Allah who merges the night into day and merges the day into night. Merging is a slow and a gradual process. The night slowly and gradually merges into the day, and the day slowly and gradually merges into the night. This slow and gradual process of merging of the night into the day and the day into the night is not possible if the earth was flat. It's only possible if the earth was spherical. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter number 39, verse number 5, that it is He who overlaps or coils the night into the day, and overlaps or coils the day into the night. The Arabic word used here is kawara, means to overlap or coil, how you coil a turban on the head. So this overlapping and coiling of the night unto the day and the day unto the night is only possible if the earth of the shape, if the shape of the earth was spherical. Allah says in the Quran in Surah An-Naziat, chapter number 79, verse number 30. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. And thereafter, we have made the earth egg-shaped. The Arabic word dahaha, one of its meaning is an expanse, and the earth is an expanse. But the other meaning is derived from the Arabic word duya, which means an egg. And we know that the earth is not completely round like a ball. It is flattened from the pole and bulging from the center. It is spherical in shape. And the Arabic word dahaha doesn't refer to a normal egg. It specifically refers to the egg of an ostrich. And that also means where the ostrich lays the egg. So imagine the glorious Quran 1400 years ago mentions that the shape of the earth is like the shape of an ostrich. It is spherical in shape. There are some people I think were, I think, talking behind, so if you can ask them to. Previously, we thought that the light of the moon was its own light. Recently, we came to know that the light of the moon is not its own light, but it's a reflected light of the sun. Recently, in science, means 50 years back, 100 years back, 200 years back, 500 years back. Quran says 1400 years ago, in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 61, that it is He who has placed the constellation in the sky and placed therein sun having a light of its own and moon having borrowed light. The Arabic word used for sun in the Quran, it is shams, and its light is always described as siraj, wahaj, or diya, meaning a torch, blazing lamp, or a shining glory. And the moon in the Quran, in Arabic, the word used is qamar. And its light is always described as munir or nur, meaning borrowed light or a reflection of light. Nowhere is the moonlight described in the Quran as a light of its own. It's always described as nur or munir, meaning reflection of light or borrowed light. Previously, the scientists believed in a theory known as geocentrism. And they believed that the earth was the center of the universe and all the planets, including the sun, revolved around the earth. This was believed since the 2nd century BC, since the time of Ptolemy, till as late as 16th century, until the time Copernicus said, it is not the sun which is revolving around the earth, but it is the earth which is revolving around the sun. And in 1609, a German scientist by the name of Johannes Kepler, he writes a book by the name of Astronomia Nova, and there he mentions that not only do the planets and the earth, besides revolving around the sun, they also rotate about their own axis. But when I was in school, I passed my school in 1982. That's about 36 years back. We read that the planets, they revolved and they rotated. But the sun, it only revolved, but it did not rotate about its own axis. That's what we read in school 38 years back. But the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 33, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ. It is Allah who has created the night and the day. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. The sun and the moon. كُلٌّ فِي فَلْكِ يَسْبَهُونَ. Each one traveling in an orbit with its own motion. Here the Quran says, the sun and the moon are traveling in an orbit with its own motion. The Arabic word used here is يَسْبَهُونَ. Yasbahun means describing the motion of a moving body in Arabic. If I use this word for a person on the floor, it will not mean he's rolling. It will mean he's walking or running. If I use this word sabaha for a person in the water, it will not mean he is floating, it will mean he is swimming. Similarly, when the Quran uses for a celestial body, it does not mean that the sun and the moon, they are floating or they are flying. It means besides revolving, they are rotating about their own axis. Kullun fi falki yasbahun. The sun and the moon, besides revolving, they also rotate about their own axis. Imagine, I read in school that the sun did not rotate about its axis, and the Quran said it rotated. And now, after science has advanced, we have come to know that the sun rotates about its own axis. And if we have the image of the sun on a tabletop, we find they have got black spots. And it takes approximately 25 days for these black spots to complete one rotation, indicating the sun takes about 25 days to complete one rotation. Imagine what I read in school, the Quran disagrees, and later on we come to know that the Quran is right and what I was taught in science 36 years back is wrong. Quran says in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 40, it is not permitted for the sun to overtake the moon, nor the night to outstrip the day, indicating that both have a different orbit. Kullun fi falki yasbahun, each one traveling in an orbit with its own motion. And today we have come to know that the moon takes about 29 and a half days to complete one rotation. Today science tells us that the sunlight we have is due to a chemical reaction taking place since billions of years. And a time will come when this chemical reaction will cease and the earth will cease to exist and life on the face of the earth will not exist. But the scientists say this will take another billion years. Quran says in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 38, وَالشَّمْسَ تَرْجِلِ مُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. The sun is running its course to a place determined, for a period determined. And today science tells us that the sun, along with the solar system, is traveling to a point in the universe known as solar apex. A point in the constellation of Hercules, Alpha Lyra, at a speed of 12 miles per second. Science tells us that the sun is going towards the point in the universe known as solar apex. And one day it will end. The Quran says the sun is moving to a place determined for a period determined. Today science tells us that the atmosphere that we have outside the earth, it acts like a filter and prevents the harmful radiation like X-ray, like ultraviolet rays, from reaching the surface of the earth. If this protected ceiling of the atmosphere was not there, life would not survive on the face of the earth. Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 32, and we have made the sky as a protected ceiling, as a protected canopy. Imagine, Quran gives this information 1400 years ago, which we came to know recently. When I was in school, about more than 45 years back, I had learned that there are only three states of matter: solid, liquid, and gas. Now science has advanced and we have come to know that the celestial substance outside the organized astronomical systems, which we thought first was vacuum, there are celestial bridges of matter outside organized celestial, which is called as plasma. And today science calls this as the fourth state of matter. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 59, that it is Allah, it's Almighty God, who has created heaven and the earth and everything in between. That means it's not vacuum. There is something in between the heaven and the earth. And today science calls it as plasma. According to Edwin Hubble, he's a famous scientist, and in the last century, he discovered a phenomena, and he said that our universe is expanding, it is receding. And this is exactly what the Quran says in Surah Dariyat, chapter number 51, verse number 46, verse number 47, that we have created the vastness of space, the expanding universe. The Arabic word used is Mu'sina, means the expanding universe, the vastness of space. There may be many critics of Islam who will say, it is nothing great that the Quran is speaking about astronomy, since the Arabs were very well advanced in the field of astronomy. And I agree with them that the Arabs were advanced in the field of astronomy. But I'd like to remind them that it was centuries after the Quran was revealed that the Arabs became advanced in the field of astronomy. So it is from the Quran that the Arabs learned about astronomy and not the vice versa. In the field of physics, there was a very popular theory called as atomism, which was propounded 23 centuries ago by the Greeks, by the Democrats. And they said that atom is the smallest part of matter which cannot be divided. In Arabic, it was called as zarra. And Quran speaks about zarra. But today, after science has advanced, we have come to know that though atom is the smallest part of matter, having the characteristics of the element, it too can be divided. And if the Quran is talking about atom, a person may think that the Quran is outdated. The Quran speaks about the atom, but it's not outdated, it is up to date. Quran says in Surah Sabah, chapter number 34, verse number 3, that those who say, the unbelievers who say that the hour will not come, tell them it will surely come with the permission of thy Lord, in whose record is the minutest detail of an atom, and in whose record is clear things smaller and greater than the atom. So the Quran says there are things smaller and greater than the atom. And this information is also repeated in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verse number 61. That in Allah's record is mentioned the minutest detail of an atom, and things smaller and greater than the atom. In the subject of water cycle, in the field of hydrology, we learnt in school about the present water cycle. The person who described the water cycle that we learn in school, his name is Bernard Palissy, and he did it the first time in 1580. How does the water evaporate from the ocean? It rises, forms into clouds, the clouds join, moves into the interior, fall down as rain, and the water table is replenished. But previously, we did not know about this water cycle. In 7th century BC, it was Thales of Miletus who said it was the spray of the ocean which was picked up by the wind, which fell into the interior as water, which fell into the interior as rainwater. Previously, we did not know how did the underground water come. From where did it come? People thought it was the pressure of the wind that caused the water to fall from the ocean into the land. And the thrust of the wind on the ocean water, it led the water into the interior. And when the water fell, there was secret passage from the land going into the ocean, which was called as Tartarus at the time of Plato. And this was believed till as late as 17th century by Descartes. And in 19th century, Aristotle, people believed in his theory that water evaporated from the lakes, and they condensed in the mountain cavern, which fed the springs and lakes. Today we come to know that the underground water is mainly due to the seepage of the rainwater and not what earlier people thought. And Quran says this in Surah Az-Zumur, chapter number 39, verse number 21. Seest thou not, it is Allah who sends down water from the sky and causes it to seep into the ground in the cracks and causes sown fields of various colors to grow. Can you increase the monitor speaker, please? Someone on the audio. And reduce the hollowness of the speech, please. The hollowness, if you can reduce the hollowness. Or is the microphone not good? Can you change the microphone if possible? Brother, can you change the microphone? Is this a better microphone than that? Mashallah, the audio system in the mosque was better.
Hello. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem.
Can you increase the highs, please? The high frequency, increase it.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam rasulillah wa ala alihi sahbihi ajmain.
Reduce the low frequency. The bass, make it less.
Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri.
Increase the high frequency and the mid frequency. Lower the lower frequency. That is better.
Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri.
There is no sharpness in the voice.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi sahbihi ajmain.
Can you increase high frequency, please? Yes, that's better. Increase high frequency.
Hello. Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri.
Does it have an effect generator in it? Can you give a little bit? Can you give a little bit reverb if possible? Back reverb. No, there's too much humming there. No humming sound has come.
Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli.
There's a humming sound. Can you reduce the humming sound, please?
Rabbi shali sadri.
Increase the volume a bit. At least of my monitor speaker. I don't know how they are hearing it or not, but at least I cannot.
Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul uqdatam min lisani. Rabbi shali sadri wa yassirli amri wa halul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Inshallah. The effect of my speech can go down to 10%, 5% without a proper microphone system. We were speaking about the water cycle. Increase the volume a bit of the motor speaker. We were speaking about this. Can I know the model of the microphone? Which microphone model is that? Is it a Shure microphone? Is it a Shure microphone? MashaAllah, you're such a good. You're a beautiful auditorium, beautiful chairs, beautiful air condition. That is more expensive than the sound system. Sound system is cheap, it's not very expensive. The cordless microphone has to be very expensive to be a good microphone. Corded is better. You should understand that the cordless microphone, for it to be very good, requires to be very expensive. The corded microphone, even if it's cheap, it can be good. So these are basics of sound system. And this is a university, mashallah. Okay, we'll continue. We won't waste time. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he continue my voice, because if my vocal cords in between, it's good that this is the last lecture of the tour, mashallah. Otherwise, if we strain the vocal cords, we cannot speak the next day. We were speaking about the water cycle. And Allah further says in the Quran, in Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 24, that it is He who sends down water from the sky. And He gives life to the earth after it is dead. Allah says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 18, that is Allah who sends down water from the sky. He is able to store it and soak it, and He is also able to drain it. Allah says in Surah Hijr, chapter number 15, verse number 22, that we send fecundating winds. The Arabic word is lawake, coming from the Arabic word laka, and the plural is laki. It means to fecundate. And there are two types of fecundation that can happen, either by the pollens, when the pollens are picked up by the wind and it enters into the cloud, we can find rain coming out, or the clouds merging among themselves, then there's lightning and rain falls from the clouds. Further is mentioned in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 43, that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who causes the clouds to join, then makes it into a heap, and then water emerges from the clouds. Allah says in Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 48, that it is Allah who raises the clouds into the sky, then causes it to join, then He moves it into the interior, then He fragments it, and then water falls from the clouds. The water cycle in the Quran is mentioned in great detail in several places. In Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse 57. In Surah Raj, chapter number 13, verse number 17. In Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse number 48 and 49. It's mentioned in Surah Fatir, chapter number 35, verse number 9. It's mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 34. It's mentioned in Surah Jasiya, chapter number 45, verse number 5. In Surah Qaf, chapter number 50, verse number 9 and 10. It's mentioned in Surah Waqia, chapter number 58, verse number 68 to 70. It's mentioned in Surah Mulk, chapter number 67, verse number 30. It's mentioned in Surah Tariq, chapter number 86, verse number 11. We can keep on giving references only in the Quran about
the water cycle mentioned in detail. You can give a talk only about water cycle for us together, what Quran speaks about the details of water cycle. In the field of geology, today the geologists tell us that the radius of the earth is about 3,950 miles. And the deeper layer, they are hot and fluid and cannot sustain life. As you keep on going on the top, it becomes solid. And the upper layer is a thin crust of 1 to 10 miles in thickness. And there are high chances that this superficial crust of the earth on which we live, it will shake. Today, science tells us it is due to the folding phenomena which gives rise to mountain ranges which give stability to the earth. The mountains, they act like tent pegs because of which the earth on which we live is stable. Without this, the earth wouldn't have been stable. Quran says in Surah Naba, chapter number 78, verse number 6 and 7, that we have made the earth as an expanse. Wal jibala autada, and the mountain as stakes. The Quran describes the mountain as autad, which means stakes, tent pegs. How you put a tent peg into the ground? The major portion of the peg goes into the ground, only small portion is on top. So the Quran says, we have made the mountains as tent pegs. Further the Quran says in Surah Naziat, chapter number 79, verse number 32, and Surah Anbiya, and Surah Ghashiyah, chapter number 88, verse number 19, that we have placed on the earth mountains standing firm. And one of the very famous book in the subject of geology, which is taught in most of the universities for the subject of geology, it is called as The Earth. And one of its authors, his name is Frank Press, who was the former president of the Academy of Science in USA and was also the science advisor to the former president of USA, Jimmy Carter. And he draws the diagram of the mountains in this book, The Earth, and he shows that the mountains have got wedges. It goes deep into the ground. And he mentions that the function of the mountain is to prevent the earth from shaking. And this is exactly what the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 31, and Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 10, and Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 15, that we have placed on the earth a mountain standing firm, lest it would shake with you. So what Frank Press wrote just a few decades earlier, the Quran mentions 1400 years ago that the function of the mountain is to prevent the earth from shaking. In the subject of oceanology or oceanography, the Quran says in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 53, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has let free two bodies of flowing water, one sweet and palpable and the other salty and bitter. Though they meet, they do not mix. There is a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. Allah repeats the message in Surah Rahman, chapter number 55, verse number 19 and 20. Marajal bahrain yaltaqiyan bainahuma barzakh la yabghiyan, that we have let free two bodies of flowing water, though they meet, they do not mix. There is a barrier between them. Previously, the commentators of the Quran could not understand what does the Quran mean by saying that there are two types of water, sweet and salty, that they knew. But what does it mean by saying, though they meet, they do not mix? There is a barrier between them. They meet, they do not mix, and there is a barrier. They could not understand. Today, science tells us that whenever one type of water flows into the other type of water, it loses its constituents and gets homogenized into the water it flows. This they call it as the homogenizing barrier.
which the Quran refers to as barzakh. And this phenomena can be seen in various parts of the world. If you go to the southernmost tip of Africa, that is South Africa, that is the Cape Point, there you see that these two types of water are there. You can even see the color between these two types of water differ. In Egypt, when River Nile flows into the Mediterranean Sea, you can see this phenomena. And one of the best examples is the Gulf of Mexico. Best example is Gulf Stream. It starts from the Gulf of Mexico, that's from America. It flows eastwards towards the western shore of Europe. It flows for thousands of miles. And when you travel in a boat in this Gulf Stream and you pick up water from one side of the stream and the water from the other side of the stream, you will find that one is sweet and the other is salty. Even the temperature between these two waters differs. Quran says in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 40, as to the state of the unbeliever's mind, as for the state of the unbeliever's mind, it is like the depths of ocean, the depths of darkness in a vast deep ocean. Waves topped with waves, topped with dark clouds. If a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see it. For to whom Allah gives no light, he cannot see. I would like to repeat, Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 40 says that the state of an unbeliever's mind is like the depths of darkness in a vast deep ocean. Waves topped with waves, topped with dark clouds. When a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see, for to whom Allah gives no light, light will not reach him. When Professor Durga Rao, a specialist in the field of oceanology, when he was shown this verse of the Quran, he said this verse does not talk about a normal sea. It specifically speaks about a deep ocean. And he said that we human beings did not know earlier, a few hundred years back, that the depth of the ocean was dark. It was only in 1900, about 120 years back, that we came to know that the depth of the ocean was dark by the help of submarine. Because previously, we could not go underwater more than 20-30 meters unaided. If you go more than 200 meters, you will die. So only after submarines were invented did we come to know that the depth of the ocean was dark. And Professor Durga Rao said that the depth of ocean, the darkness is due to two reasons. Number one, due to the absorption of the light rays by the water. And we know, we learned in school, that the light has got seven colors. It's made up of seven colors. Vibgyor, violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. We learned that in school. When the light enters the water, the first 10 to 15 meters of the water, it absorbs the red color. So if a diver dives 25 to 30 meters beneath the sea, and if he starts to bleed, he will not be able to see the red color of his blood, because red color does not reach that part of the ocean below 15 meters. 30 to 50 meters of the ocean, it absorbs the orange color. 50 to 100 meters absorbs the yellow color. 100 to 200 meters absorb the green color, and above 200 meters, the blue color and indigo is absorbed. That means each color is absorbed at a particular stage, so you have layers of darkness in stages. This is the first reason of darkness in the ocean. Prof. Durga Rao said the second reason is when the sunlight, before it reaches the earth, many a times it is obstructed by the clouds, and the clouds absorb the sun rays. This is one of the reasons of darkness. If the sunlight is not obstructed by the cloud, it reaches the surface of the ocean. And many a times it is reflected by the waves. Therefore, we see that the waves are silvery. Those light rays which are not reflected by the waves, they enter the ocean. The darkness is due to two reasons.
And today the scientists, they tell us that the ocean is divided into two parts, superficial part and the deep part. The superficial part, it is lit up, warm and light. The deeper part, it is dark and it is cold. And between these two, superficial and the deep part, there are waves. All of us knew about the superficial wave, but recently, 100 years back, 200 years back, we came to know about the internal waves. So this internal waves, it divides the ocean into superficial part and deep part. That's what the Quran says. The state of an unbeliever's mind is like the depths of darkness in a deep ocean. Waves topped with waves. The internal waves topped with the superficial waves, topped with clouds. When a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see it. For to whom Allah gives no light, no light will reach him. Prophet Durga Rao said, this book, the Quran, which is 1400 years ago, cannot give such details about the ocean unless it is revealed by Almighty God. In the field of botany, we did not know previously that even the plants have got sexes, male and female. We came to know recently. Quran says in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 53, that it is Allah who sends down water from the skies. With it brings diverse pairs of plants, each separate from the other. The Arabic word is azwaj, meaning pairs, sexes, male and female, each separate from the other. The Quran says in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 3, that we have created every kind of fruit in pairs. Quran says in Surah Dariyah, chapter 51, verse number 49, that we have created everything in pairs. That means not only animals and birds and human beings and plants are created, okay? Even inanimate things like the electricity. It has got pairs, negative and positive, electrons and protons. Furthermore, Quran says in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 36, that Allah has created everything in pairs, the things you know and things you don't know. That means what today even science hasn't found out. The Quran says Allah has created everything in pairs, things you know and things you don't know. In the field of biology, the glorious Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, the ayah I started my talk with, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْنَهِ أَفَلَا يُمِنُونَ. We have created every living thing from water. Will you not then believe? Imagine in the deserts of Arabia 1400 years ago, the Quran is saying everything is created from water. Where there was scarcity of water, who would have believed in the Quran? Today, after science's advance, we have come to know that every living creature, its basic substance is the cell. The cell contains cytoplasm. The cytoplasm contains 80% water. Today, science tells us that every living creature in the world contains 50 to 90% water. And every living thing to sustain requires water. Imagine, Quran mentions this 1400 years ago, that we have created every living thing in water. Quran says in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 45, we have created every animal from water. Quran says in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 54, we have created every human being from water. In the field of zoology, the Quran says in Surah Anam, chapter number 6, verse number 38, that it is Allah who has created creatures that walk on the earth, animals that walk on the earth, and birds that fly in the air to live in communities like the human beings. Today, science tells us that the animals and the bird, they live in communities like the human being.
Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 68 and 69, that the Lord has taught the bees to build its cells in trees, in human habitations, and to find the spacious path of thy Lord with great skill. What does the Quran mean by saying Allah has taught the bee to find the spacious path of thy Lord with great skill? It was in 1973 that Sir Fond Fesch, he got the Nobel Prize for describing the behavior and the communication of the bees. And he said that whenever a bee finds a new flower or a new garden, it goes and tells its fellow bee the exact direction of the garden by a process known as bee dance. Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 16 and 69. The gender used for the worker bee is kulli or fasluk, kulli or faskuli, fasluki, which means a female gender. So Quran says the worker bee is a female bee. But when we read Shakespeare's Henry V, he mentions that the worker bee, the soldier bee, are the male, and they report to the king. Today, science tells us that the worker bee are not male bee, but they are female bee. And they don't report to the king, but they report to the queen. Imagine Quran even specifies the sex of the worker bee as being female, which we came to know recently. Quran says in Surah An-Kabut, chapter number 29, verse number 41, that as to those who take for protectors, anyone besides Allah, anyone besides Almighty God, they build for themselves houses like that of the spider. For verily, the house of the spider is fragile. The verse is very clear that all those who take for protectors, anyone besides Almighty God, they build for themselves houses like the spider, talking about the physical fragile nature of the web of the spider. Besides that, today, science tells us that besides the web being fragile, today we have come to know that even the relationship in the spider's family, that many a time the female spider kills the male spider and she's called as the black widow. Quran says in Surah An-Naml, chapter number 27, verse number 17 and 18, that when Solomon marched with his army of men, jinn and birds, when they approached a lowly valley of ants, one of the ants said, "O ye ants, let us get into our habitation, lest Solomon and his army unknowingly will trample us beneath their feet." People may think, what kind of a fairy tale book is the Quran? The ants talking among themselves? And you may think that the Quran is a fairy tale book. But today, after science has advanced, we have come to know the animal which has the closest resemblance to the lifestyle of the human being, it is the ant. The ants bury the dead the same way as the human beings do. They very often meet to chat. They have a sophisticated method of communication. They have marketplaces, souk, where they exchange goods. They have a sophisticated method of labor, where they have a foreman, supervisor, worker, etc. And when they store the grain, and if the grain begins to bud, they chop off the bud as though they knew that budding will cause the rotting of the grain. And if the grain gets wet, they get the grain out in the sunlight to dry as though they knew that humidity will cause the rotting of the grain. When I was a kid, I used to many a time see these ants, you know, carrying the grain in sunlight. I used to wonder what it is. They get it out in the sunlight to dry as though they knew that humidity will cause the rotting of the grain. In the field of medicine, the Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 69, that from the belly of the bees, you get a drink of varying colors in which there is healing for humankind. Previously, we did not know that honey was obtained from the belly of the bees. We came to know recently, 200 years back, 300 years back. And today science tells us that there are high nutritional values in honey. It is rich in fructose and vitamin K. Today science tells us
that honey has got mild antiseptic properties. No wonder the Russian soldiers, they used honey to cover up the wound. And due to the density of the honey, the bacteria and germ was prevented to grow, and there was healing with leaving very little scar tissue. And if honey produced from a plant is given to a patient who has allergy to the plant, he starts developing resistance to that allergy. In the field of physiology, it was Ibn Nafis, 600 years after the Quran was revealed, who first described the blood circulation. And 400 years after Ibn Nafis, that is 1000 years after the Quran was revealed, William Harvey made it famous to the world. In our school books, we hear about William Harvey. We don't read about Ibn Nafis. It was Ibn Nafis who was the first person, who was a Muslim, who described the blood circulation. And before Ibn Nafis, 600 years before him, the Quran speaks about the blood circulation nutshell. Today science tells us that the food we eat, I'll just tell you in short, in a nutshell, the food we eat goes into the stomach. From the stomach, it goes into the intestine. From the intestine, via the blood vessel, it goes to the different various organs of the body, including the mammary gland, which is responsible for the production of milk. This information is given in a nutshell in the Quran, in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 66, where it says, "Verily in the cattle is a lesson for you. We give you to drink from what is within the bodies, coming from a conjunction of the constituents of the intestine and blood, milk which is pure for you to have." Quran repeats the message in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 21, that "Verily in the cattle is an instructive sign for you. We give you to drink from what is within the belly. And the meat you eat, and from it you derive warmth." In the field of embryology, embryology means the study of an embryo in the womb of the mother when the child is born. In the field of embryology, there were many Arab students who collected all the verses of the Quran and the hadith which dealt with embryology, and they followed the guidance of the Quran in Surah Nahl, chapter 16, verse 43, which says, "If you don't know, ask the person who knows. If you're in doubt, ask the person knowledgeable." So they took all this information, which was translated to English, and they took it to Professor Keithmore. This was somewhere in the early 80s and the late 70s. And at that time, Professor Keith Moore, he was the head of the Department of Anatomy in the University of Toronto in Canada. And he was one of the highest authority in the field of embryology. So they took this to him, the translation, and they asked him that whatever the Quran speaks about embryology, is it correct or is it wrong? So after reading the translation, he said that most of the information given in the Quran and the hadith about embryology is correct. But some verses, I cannot say it is correct. Neither can I say it is wrong, because I myself don't know about it. And two such verses were the first two verses of the Quran to be revealed, of Surah Iqra, Surah Alaq, chapter number 96, verse number 1 and 2, which says, "Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Khalaq al insana min alaq." Read, recite in the name of thy Lord who created. Who created the human beings from something which clings, a leech-like substance. So Professor Keith Moore said, "I do not know whether the embryo in the initial stages looks like a leech or not." So he went into his laboratory and under a very powerful microscope observed the early stages of the embryo and compared it with a photograph of a leech. And he was shocked and astonished at the striking resemblance. Later on, when about 80 questions were asked to him regarding embryology, based on the verses of the Quran and the Hadith, he said that if you'd have asked me this question 30 years back, I would not be able to answer most of them, because embryology is a latest branch of medicine which has developed. He said it about 40 years back. And he said, "I have got no doubt in agreeing and believing that this Quran is from Almighty God and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God." Quran
Quran says in Surah Tariq, chapter number 86, verse number 5 to 7, that does not man think from where he has been created? He is created from a drop emitted from a space between the backbone and the ribs. What does the Quran mean by saying that the human beings have been created from a drop emitted from a space between the backbone and the ribs? Today, after science advances, I have come to know that in the embryonic age, when we are children, when we are in the womb of the mother, our genital organs, they originate in a space close to the kidney, between the backbone and the 11th and 12th rib. And later on, in the females, the ovary, the descent to the true pelvis, and in the male, the testes descend via the inguinal canal into the scrotum. Even after they descend in the adult life, yet they receive the blood supply from the same space between the backbone and the 11th and 12th rib. And they receive the nerve supply from the same space between the backbone and the 11th and 12th rib. And the lymphatic drainage goes back to the same space between the backbone and the 11th and 12th rib. Imagine, Quran gives so much detail about embryology. Furthermore, the Quran says in Surah Hajj chapter 22 verse number 5 and Surah Mu'minun chapter number 23 verse number 13 that we have created the human being from a nutfa. Nutfa in Arabic means a minute quantity of liquid, a very small quantity. That means only a small quantity is required for the birth of the human being. Furthermore, the Quran says in Surah Sajda chapter number 32 verse number 8, we have created the human beings from minute quantity, from sulala. Sulala means a quintessence of clay, a quintessence, a best part of the whole. Today, science tells us that out of the hundreds of millions of sperms that are ejaculated in one emission, only one sperm is sufficient to fertilize the ova. One out of 100 million, the Quran refers to as sulala, as quintessence, as the best part of the whole. Quran says in Surah Insan, chapter number 76, verse number 2, that we have created the human being from nutfatin amshaj, from a minute quantity of mingled fluid. Some of the scholars say that this mingled fluid means the male and the female gametes, the male and the female fluid. Some scholars say it can also mean the spermatic fluid, which includes fluid from various organs, for example, seminal vesicles, for example, prostate glands and other organs. In the field of genetics, today science tells us, it is the 23rd pair of chromosome which is responsible for the sex of the child. If it's XX, it's a female. If it's XY, then it's a male. And today science tells us, it is the male, it is the sperm, male fluid, it is the sperm which deciphers the sex of the child. If the X of the male sperm takes part in the fertilization, then a female is born. If a Y takes part, then a male is born. So it is the male fluid, the sperm, which deciphers the sex of the child. And this is exactly what the Quran says. In Surah Najm, chapter number 53, verse number 45 to 46, that we have made the human beings from a minute quantity of liquid gushing forth from a male, then we made it into male or female. Quran says in Surah Qiyamah, chapter number 75, verse number 37 to 39, that we have created the human being from a minute quantity of sperm. Nutfatin min mani yumna. A minute quantity of sperm, then made it into an alaqa, then made the alaqa into mudga, then gave it sex, male and female. So Quran says a minute quantity of sperm, male fluid, which gives rise to male or female. The country where I come from, that is India, people, for reason best known to them, they prefer having sons rather than daughters. And if a girl gives birth to a daughter, many a time the mother-in-law will blame the daughter-in-law that why did you give birth to a girl? Actually, the sex
is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the daughter-in-law has to blame anyone according to the science and according to Quran, she should blame the son and not the daughter-in-law, because the male is responsible for discovering the sex of the child and not the female. Quran says in Surah Az-Zumur, chapter number 39, verse number 6, that we have created you in the wombs of your mother, in stages, one after the other, in three veils of darkness. Prophet Keith Moore said that these three veils of darkness refers to the anterior abdominal wall, it refers to the uterine wall, and the amniocorionic membrane. Quran describes the various embryological stages in great detail in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 12, 13 and 14. It says, we have created the human beings from a quintessence of clay. Then created it from a minute quantity of liquid, the nutfa. Then made the nutfa into alaka, a leech-like substance. Then made the alaka into mudga, a chewed-like lump. Then made the mudga into izama, bones. Then clothed the bones with flesh. Glory be to Allah, who is the best to create. These three verses talk about the various embryological stages in great detail. It says that we place the nutfa into qararim maqim, a place of security. Today science tells us that the fetus is protected from behind, from the spinal spine, as well as the back muscles. And anteriorly, by the anterior abdominal wall, as well as the amniocorionic membrane and the amniocorionic fluid. It says, we made that nutfa into alaka, a leech-like substance. Alaka in Arabic have got three meanings. One is a leech-like substance, which I already described. Second is something which clings. And we know that the embryo clings to the uterine wall. And besides looking like a leech, it behaves like a leech. It gets its blood supply through the placenta from the mother. And the third meaning of alaka means a congealed clot of blood. At this stage of the embryo, about 4 to 5 weeks, the blood does not circulate. And the embryo at that stage looks like a blood clot. So alhamdulillah, all three meanings of alaka, a blood clot, something which clings, and leech-like substance, all three are applicable scientifically. It says we made the alaka into mudga, a chewed-like lump. Prophet Keith Moore took a plaster seal and made it look like a mudga, and then bit it between his teeth to look like a chewed-like lump. And the teeth mark, they resemble the somites from where the nerves emerge. We made the mudga into izama, into bones. Then clothed the bones with flesh. Glory be to Allah, who's the best to create. Till this stage, the development in the other animals and human being is the same. After this stage, when the bone comes and the flesh is there on the bones, then the stage of the human being differs than that of the other animals. The head comes, the feet comes. Allah says in the Quran, glory be to Allah, who is the best to create. Quran says in Surah Hajj, chapter number 22, verse number 5, that we have created the human being from a nutfa. They made the nutfa into a mudga, a chewed-like lump, partly formed and partly unformed. At this stage of mudga, some organs are complete, some are incomplete. So there is no better description than the description given by the Quran. If we say it's a complete creation, it's a mistake. If we say it's an incomplete mistake, if it's incomplete creation, it's a mistake because some organs are formed. There is no better description than the Quran, according to Professor Marshall Johnson. He says the perfect description the Quran gives, partly formed and partly unformed. Quran says in Surah Insan, chapter number 76, verse number 2, that we have given the human beings the gift of hearing and sight. Today science tells us that in the fifth month of pregnancy, the ear splits open. The first sense to develop in the embryo is the sense of hearing and then sight. Later on in the seventh month of pregnancy, the eye splits open. So Quran rightly says, Allah has given the gift of hearing and sight.
Quran says in Surah Sajda, chapter number 32, verse number 9, that we have given to the human beings the sense of hearing, sight, and feeling and understanding. I would like to give you two more examples before I end my talk. Recently, in 1880, we discovered the fingerprinting method, where Sir Francis Gold said that no two fingerprints in two different individuals in the world are identical. Quran says in Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 3 to 4, that when the unbelievers say, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, be able to reconstruct our bones on the day of judgment? After we are buried, after our bones have got disintegrated, how will he be able to reconstruct our bones on the day of judgment? So Allah replies, tell them, Allah can not only reconstruct the bones, he can reconstruct in perfect order the very tips of the finger. What does the Quran mean by saying not only the bones, Allah can even reconstruct the very tips of a finger? It was Sir Francis Gold in 1880 who discovered the fingerprinting method. And no two fingerprints, even in a million people, are identical. So Allah says, leave aside the bone, I can even reconstruct the fingerprints. I would like to end my speech by giving the last example of Professor Tagrata Kashan. Professor Tagrata Kashan hails from Thailand and spent a great deal of time in pain receptors. Previously, with medical doctors, we thought that only the brain was responsible for the feeling of pain. Now we have come to know that there are certain receptors in the skin known as pain receptors, which are responsible for the feeling of pain. Without these pain receptors, you cannot feel pain. So when a patient of burn injury comes, the doctor takes a pin and he pricks it in the area of burn. If the patient feels pain, the doctor is happy. It's a superficial burn. The pain receptors are intact. If the patient does not feel pain, the doctor is sad because it's a deep burn. The pain receptors have been destroyed. Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 56, as to those who reject our signs, we shall cast them into the hellfire. And as often as the skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skin so that they shall feel the pain. Quran says, as often as their skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skin so that they shall feel the pain, indicating there is something in the skin which is responsible for feeling of the pain. And today science tells us about the pain receptors. When Professor Tagrata Kashan, when he read the translation of this verse of the Quran, he said, it's not possible. This book, which is 1400 years ago, talking about pain receptors, he could not believe in it. After verifying the translation and speaking with other people like Professor Keith Moore, he was so impressed with the Quran that in the 9th medical conference in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, in the conference itself, he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.